Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to It's a New Day here on WFYL 1180 AM. It's Thursday, February 18th. It is 8:06 AM, and it is very cold outside. We hope everyone is staying warm, that your pipes aren't bursting, that we'll make it through this frigid time. It's only 10 days until March, so there is hope on the horizon.
And this is Al Locke, and it's Wednesday, but we're doing rather well here. Got everything more or less back to normal. Thank you, God. Didn't look that way. Tell you the truth, when I came rushing in here yesterday morning, it looked like we might be down for the count because water was everywhere. But like I said, praise God. We're fully automated. Russell's at the board, and Susan's given some really considered statements here that I hope you're all gaining from.
I would like to share one thing, Al. Last week we had Roman Andrejczyk and Irene Mazur with us. They are American citizens, but they were born in Ukraine, and they're exceptionally intelligent, accomplished people who gave us very eloquent, up-to-date reports on what was happening in Ukraine at that time. Now, since then, after they were here, actually, it has been two weeks, the ceasefire was signed on February 12th, and we were very happy to hear that. But Vera, Roman's wife, sent us some, and they will be back with us soon, we hope, to give us an update on what's happening there. But Vera sent us some photographs of what has happened. The ceasefire has been violated by Russia, and she sent some photos. These are available online at BuzzFeed, BUZZFEED, BuzzFeed.com. There are pictures of people fleeing from Debaltseve, the town that was just mentioned on Fox News, and this was last week. They are heartbreaking pictures to see.
The old people are weeping, openly weeping.
Some of the older people aren't able to leave. They are standing there weeping as family members and friends leave. It is truly heartbreaking. And what I wanted to mention is that Newsmax today has a headline: Ukraine urges West to get tough on Russia after rebels storm town. And it's this town that we're talking about. The three-day-old ceasefire has been violated. The UN and Western powers called for an immediate end to hostilities in eastern Ukraine as fierce fighting around the town of Debaltseve threatened the latest attempt to end the bloody 10-month conflict. The United States condemned the violence, which it blamed on separatist forces acting in concert with Russian forces, and warned Moscow it would face penalties for supporting the rebel fighters encircling the strategic transport hub. But Russian President Vladimir Putin, who denies backing Ukraine's insurgency, said the conflict, which has killed more than 5,600 people, could not be solved, quote, by military means, unquote, and urged Kiev's troops to surrender. I hope that the Ukrainian authorities are not going to prevent the Ukrainian soldiers from laying down their weapons, Putin said in a press conference during a visit to Budapest. The Ukrainian president, in a phone conversation with German Chancellor Angela Merkel, said that the assault on Debaltseve was a cynical attack on the truce brokered last week by Germany and France. And he called for the European Union and the international community to take a tough reaction against the treacherous actions of the rebels and Russia. The insurgents have argued that Debaltseve, which sits on a railway line linking rebel-held Donetsk and Luhansk, is well inside their territory behind the front line, so should not be included in the ceasefire agreement, while Kiev says it controls the territory. The UN Security Council on Tuesday called on all parties to immediately cease hostilities and allow peace monitors to enter the town. Vice President Joe Biden strongly condemned, that's in quotes, strongly condemned the violence and warned that the costs to Russia will rise if it continues to violate the Minsk agreements, including the most recent agreement signed on February 12th. Intense shelling was heard in the Debaltseve area on Tuesday. Journalists reported from the neighboring town of Soledar. The world, quote, the hopes of the world for peace are being destroyed, unquote, the deputy head of Ukraine's presidential administration, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Valery Kali, said. This is a tragic situation. We've been trying to bring you up-to-date reports on it from people who know what they're talking about, and we hope to have them back again, but we just wanted to mention that again this morning.
This is a very, very huge foreign affairs event. Over half the German people are worried about World War III, as I am, when history has proven to us that when people get involved, when they see their friends killed and so on and so forth, they obviously get hard-headed and embittered and aren't likely to change their minds. From what I heard, this group in this key railroad junction is surrounded, and the Russians want them to lay down their guns so they can be transported to the Ukraine. And I say, if President Obama was on top of this, that he'd say, yeah, lay down your guns, and when you get out of there, I'll equip you with more modern guns than you've ever seen. And, you know, we'll make it hard for the Russians to start up the war again, because we'll keep you equipped with at least as much defensive armament as the Russians are providing the separatists. But, the you know, people are hard-headed. Wars have started down through the ages. And this is a major, major thing in Europe. And this is not something, this is, they've had ethnic cleansing there during World War II, where the Germans marched in, eradicated the Russian defenders, and then the USSR marched in, eradicated the German defenders. I mean, they purged the different populations. I mean, this is these people we've been privileged to have on WFYL, straight from the horse's mouth, Ukrainian backgrounded person. Roman was he's a retired U.S. Army colonel. He went to the War College in Carlisle. Very, very intelligent man. You heard him talk here, and essentially he's given you a really good rundown of what's happening over there. He's been over there three times a year, stayed there for weeks each time he's come over. He was a election monitor over when they had elections in the Ukraine. So this is, we had two lawyers who joined him. Susan mentioned them. This is really up-to-date information, but it hurts me that the Russian Orthodox Christians and the Ukrainian Christians are fighting each other. This is not what Christ would want, and it would seem like the two, Sam Rohr's been over there. We're privileged to have Sam on, and hopefully we'll have him on more coming up, and I'll be able to give you a good synopsis of what's going on with Sam. Program we're going to have 12 to 1 on a daily basis here. But the bottom line is the Ukrainians should get together, lay down your arms. They ought to have the Dutch troops or somebody go in there, Belgian troops, and escort. Yeah, just lay down your arms and we'll escort you out to make sure you're safe. You know, something ought to be able to be brokered. We got some smart people over there, but this is terrible that the peace initiative once again hasn't held. It was supposed to be, they brokered it, they stayed up for 16, 18 hours to get the deal done. It was supposed to go into effect last Sunday, and they're still fighting over there.
Well, the insurgents had waged an intense bombardment of the town last Saturday, the day before the ceasefire came into effect on Sunday, and kept up rocket and mortar fire afterward. That violence and other breaches of the truce both sides blamed on the other prevented the warring forces from pulling back heavy weapons from the front line in Ukraine's east, as was meant to happen from Tuesday. I'm reading from this Newsmax article today about this. Russia has been hit by several rounds of Western sanctions over its perceived role in the conflict. Ukraine and the West accused Russia of deploying troops and tanks to support the separatists. Moscow denies that and describes the Russian fighters seen in Ukraine as volunteers. President Obama has said arming Ukraine against the rebels was one option he would consider if things got worse, although he would prefer to pressure Russia through other means. This violence in Debaltseve has unsettled world powers and agencies after several failed attempts to broker a lasting ceasefire. And EU foreign policy chief says, we knew from the beginning that the truce was going to be difficult, fragile, but the Russians and separatists know that, quote, it's all the international community looking for the implementation of these agreements. So it really is a situation that needs prayer, and also become informed about it and contact your representatives and even the White House to let them know how you feel about this, because I think after we talked about it before, the ceasefire was signed, was agreed upon. So we can make a difference.
We ask everybody to pray. Community prayer does work, so keep praying. Redouble your efforts. Lord, help the Ukrainian people, a Russian background, and everyone over there in the Ukraine.
We'll be back after this break.
Are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests.
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core.
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
Are you discouraged and perhaps even paralyzed about how to respond to public corruption, broken families, and daily threats of terror? And are you tired of people complaining but hearing no authentic solutions? Do you wonder if there's hope for America? A biblical roadmap for renewal will bring you that hope. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I want to urge you to attend the one-day Pennsylvania Pastors Network U-Turn Conference on March 19th at Lancaster Bible College. This powerful program will equip pastors, church leaders, and concerned Americans to know the truth, stand in the gap to defend it, and to take action now. Join me, along with Christian historian David Barton of Wall Builders, researcher George Barna, pilot and author Steve Scheibner, and many others. Don't miss this powerful event on March 19th at Lancaster Bible College. God is raising up a remnant in America for this time. Are you part of that remnant? Come to the U-Turn Conference and find out. Go to uturnconference.org and register today to receive early bird and group rates. That's uturnconference.org.
Well, we're back here. This is Al Locke, and my wife Susan is a fellow commentator here. She stepped out of the studio for a minute. But the next item I have on my list here is global warming. And if you look outside, if you've been subjected to the, as I might have mentioned earlier, I measured minus 13 Fahrenheit with an infrared point device the other day, less than a week ago. So we got some serious cold here. Now, there's several people that are advocating, saying that global warming is continuing. There's been article after article, and a lot of the alternative news sources that's saying that the actual data is being changed. It's being altered. It's being falsified. The satellite photos are saying that the temperature is staying within a degree Fahrenheit from what it has been. And indeed, the polar ice cap has increased twice the size of the state of Texas. Some people say 40%. So how can you lie in the face of all this information? And in particular, a retired NASA scientist, one of the top guys, he was appointed to investigate the shuttle failures, this, that, and the other thing, when he worked for NASA, and he testified before Congress. His name's John Casey. You can look him up on the internet. He was White House Space Program Advisor, NASA headquarters, and a shuttle space shuttle engineer. And as he was retired, he started investigating, and he couldn't believe the results. He says, we're spending $22 billion a year. That's $41,856 every minute to counter global warming. Well, he says global warming is hogwash. And essentially, a lot of scientists agree with John's work, but they have no choice. They have no choice but to agree after seeing the evidence. But the bottom line is that even though it's earth-shattering, according to this article, they can't say anything about it, because if you work in the government and you stand up and say man-made climate change is all nonsense, you can kiss your government job goodbye. And they'll either make it heck to work there, or they'll fire you outright. And I remember the U.S. Navy, one of the president administration's projects. It's almost unbelievable to me, but they wanted to make fuel for the Navy fleet. You know, the Navy fleet, huge ships steaming all over the world, out of sugar beets. And basically, they tried this in Hawaii, in the island of Maui. They have a huge farming community there. Private industry has done a monumental job to harness the water coming down from the mountains to irrigate the crops there. And the Navy took over the project, and they finally concluded that it would cost like $26 a gallon. That's right. You're right. It's $3.45 or whatever a gallon here now. But if you use sugar beets and try and get fuel from sugar beets, it costs like $20-$30 a gallon to do that. And see, the Obama administration doesn't have any engineers, or fewer engineers, and fewer businessmen in their White House staff than just about any other White House organization. So they're really out to lunch. An engineer like myself could have told them it's impossible to do that. But the Navy, they were directed to do it. They thought, hey, it's good duty in Hawaii for years here to investigate that. I'll just do a good job. They did a good job, and they confirmed what everybody thought. What seasoned engineers, experienced engineers thought all along, it's impossible to make cheap fuel out of sugar beets or any other. I mean, it's literally coming out of the ground at some places, and who would accept some person that was so brainwashed, like apparently some of the administration officials are, to try and get a synthetic fuel or not synthetic, but you know, an organic fuel from something like sugar beets. So anyway, the latest, and this might be one of the smarter guys in the United States, worked for NASA, retired from NASA, established expert. Even Al Gore had to get back to him and try and counter him because he has so much influence, and he sent a copy of his 45-page or more booklet to every senator, every congressman, and he's just refuting this the notion that we have global warming. Well, look outside. It's the coldest it's been since the 1800s. The ice cap is growing. I mean, you don't need to be a nuclear scientist or an environmental scientist to read the tea leaves, so to speak. And while I'm on the subject, Phil Valentine, who's on our station here on a daily weekday basis, he basically has written a book. And we've asked Phil whether he'd come and present it here in Philadelphia. And
it's
Phil's
DVD,
response...
DVD.
DVD. And he says he'd be glad to do that. Of course, there's fees and everything to transport him here and put him up here, fly him in, pay his motel bill. But if the listeners of WFYL are interested in meeting Phil Valentine in person, I'm sure we could talk the Christian Conference Center into basically renting us a space to have him give a presentation there. He did a terrific job. Of course, he's from Tennessee, where Al Gore is from. So Al Gore made a DVD. Phil's done a DVD countering a lot of his arguments, and it'd be worthwhile to have Phil here. But we're trying to set that up. But we need interest. We need a party to help sponsor it. Maybe one of the local colleges will do that. But anyway, that's what John Casey, the NASA scientist, is saying. And if you look around, you'll see that he's more likely right. It's amazing that Al Gore is like Walt Durante for the New York Times has lied to us this long. At least that's my opinion. Now, getting back to the Ukraine, in the middle of all this breaking emergencies, we have the U.S. Army being downsized to 500,000 men. It's the lowest number of men in many years. Some people have said if it continues, we'll have less people in the U.S. Army than they had before World War II started. And as Ronald Reagan said, wars don't start because you're too strong. Wars start because you're too weak. Somebody like Putin calculates that, we have an army here, and the army is much superior in numbers than the Americans. They can't get here. It's on our border, and he has started this war, and it is a war. They've displaced almost a million people, and, you know, they have 5,000 to 50,000 casualties, so... pray for the Ukraine, and pray for our country, too.
How strong is Allegra D?
It's my congestion's finally gone strong, even in the park playing with my dogs. Go fetch, Bosley.
Allegra D, a fast, non-drowsy antihistamine plus a powerful decongestant that starts relieving your toughest allergy symptoms in under 1 hour.
Allegra D is breathing free for 24 hours strong, even in the convertible.
Allegra D, strong relief for your allergy symptoms, guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com. Use only as directed.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Fighting through a ceasefire, pro-Russian rebels take a town in eastern Ukraine.
Ukrainian government forces seen driving out of Debaltseve, the focus of fighting since Sunday's ceasefire came into effect. Ukraine's president saying they're conducting a planned and organized withdrawal. This after pro-Russian separatists said they had the town surrounded.
Fox News Radio's Simon Owen. Police in Las Vegas say a woman shot and killed after an argument in a parking lot had gone looking for the suspect. Fox's Jackie Ibanez.
Police say 44-year-old Tammy Myers was giving her teenage daughter a driving lesson last Thursday when another driver approached her car and started yelling at them. Myers then picked up her 22-year-old son, who had a gun, and then tried to find the other driver.
She found him near her home and was shot in the head and died 2 days later. Fox News, we report. You decide.
The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6:11 that spiritual victory is assured when we intentionally put on the complete armor of God. The first piece is Jesus Christ, the truth. Next is the breastplate of righteousness, protection for the heart. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network. In the spiritual battle of life, the devil goes for the heart. It's where he plants the seeds of pride, doubt, and lust. That's why we must guard our hearts with the breastplate of righteousness, which is integrity and godly character, a clean heart and humility before God that only comes from having first put on Jesus Christ the truth, the Son of Righteousness. Since the condition of the heart is God's measure of a man, is it any wonder that the devil goes for the heart to pull us from trust in God to trust in self? I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, have you put on the breastplate of righteousness today, or have you left your heart unguarded?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
It's 2015. Do you have huge growth goals for your company but don't know how to get there from where you are now? Or has your business not been growing and you don't know why or what to do to get back to growth? Or are you in a different situation where your business has been growing rapidly by leaps and bounds, but you're experiencing growing pains and are concerned that your company might rather be overexpanding or won't be able to keep up with demand, both threatening your short and long-term profitability? If you are in any of these situations, we have the show for you. Accelerating Your Business, a new weekly call-in radio program starting Thursday, February 5th from 7:34 a.m. to 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, hosted by me, Michelle Faustin, your growth, market entry, and business expansion expert and president and CEO of MJF Strategy, will help you get and take your business to the next level by answering any and all questions related to growing your business profitably the right way. For a chance to have your questions aired and answered on our show's premiere, email me at askmichelle@1180wfyl.com. That's askmichelle@1180wfyl.com. And that's Accelerating Your Business, airing every Thursday morning from 7:34 to 8 a.m., starting February 5th on WFYL. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Have you checked out our podcast on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7? At 1180WFYL.com. If you like what you hear on WFYL, please email us at info@1180WFYL.com to let us know.
Everyone, welcome back to 1180WFYL. It's a new day. Here in the Philadelphia area, it is very cold. It's about 17 degrees in Philadelphia, 13 degrees in the suburban areas. Al was just talking about global warming, and we have had 6 winter storms since January 25th in just over 3 weeks. It's one of the coldest winters in memory for all of us. There are 2 new storms, 2 more systems that are being watched closely that could bring more snow and ice through the weekend into early next week. We should be getting a little bit of snow tonight, too, so we just have to bear with it here.
Well, that's for sure. Yes, keep warm, and basically just remember, turning down your thermostats might not be the best thing to do if the pipes break. So these are extraordinary times. I've never remember seeing minus 13 in this area. It's really, really, really bitter and cold out there.
2 mornings ago. We're very grateful for the sunshine and so grateful that it has really, it's been manageable here. It's been terrible up in New England and in Massachusetts, Maine, parts of New York. Very, very difficult with continuing snowfall there. It's a very difficult winter for many people.
It's too bad Al Gore can't be put to shoveling the snow out there, up there in New England. It might change his attitude a little bit, although he's committed to this. He's increased his net worth over 100 times, from what I understand, by doing what he's doing. So anyway, we have, excuse me, we have some other things here. One is the attorney general nominee is basically suspected to be part of covering up a money laundering scheme by one of the major banks, and she's the congressional committee that's overseeing her confirmation is requesting emails and this, that, and the other thing. And of course, the Obama administration is known for stonewalling such efforts. So I don't know how that's going to turn out. But she was Attorney General for Eastern New York. And of course, the banks there are substantial. And one of them was actually fined $1.2 billion for money laundering, some drug cartel money. So this is something that they need to investigate thoroughly before they make her into Attorney General. Also, the cancer rates in Japan, next to the meltdown sites, have increased 6,000%. And the people that were anticipating cancer rates going up because of the meltdown anticipated 50%. So this is, once again, as a former nuclear power engineer, electrical officer, and another time reactor officer in a nuclear submarine, and having done a year and a half's worth of training and actual experience on a nuclear submarine, getting out of the Navy as a lieutenant, I know the danger of those nuclear plants. And this is, we had relatively small reactors on a submarine. These were commercial grade, huge reactors. They actually refueled their four reactors in a row there. The United States never puts more than two of them together. And they stored the fuel in like the second floor in big tank racks that due to the earthquakes could collapse and cause even more monumental damage. But the radioactivity is spewing out the top of this metal-clad building. The reality of it is over here, if you look at our buildings, such as Limerick, they're like 2 feet of solid steel-reinforced concrete. And this is a monumental environmental disaster. And if you think the environmentalists would be upset about anything, you'd think they should be upset about this Japanese meltdown and disaster. So I recommended, it's cost a lot of money, but this is contaminating the Pacific Ocean. You know, the Pacific Ocean, whales are dying, sea life is dying as far away as California. And it's being monitored and picked up, you know, in all these locations in the United States. There's a website that monitors this, NETC. And the Reagan was over there, aircraft carrier, nuclear power aircraft, 100 miles from the meltdown, and they got so heavily contaminated that 70 or so people were affected. Some of them can't even stand up now because of the radiation they got. And they had super qualified people on board, but they didn't realize the extent of the danger they were getting into until one of the radiation techs, probably an ET, went up topside with a Geiger counter or whatever and basically let everybody know to get below decks and get out of their clothes and everything. And it's, anyway, the whole ship had to be decontaminated in Washington or Oregon, and a lot of things had to be sent to a waste disposal site. So anyway, this is a huge meltdown. They should have put a big dome on top of it. They should have put filters on it, water filters, air filters, They still need to work on it. They need to. It's a huge project, but it's out of the news, and they don't seem to be wanting to cover it. But it's still venting to the atmosphere. So this is something that's unacceptable in my mind. But and for the children's sake in Japan, the Japanese government ought to be doing more. The utility, it's beyond the utility's ability to handle this, although they should be devoting every bit of the resources they have to making this situation better. There's an article here that you don't hear. One of the Mexican cartels is throwing grenades at a border TV station for reporting on them. So a courageous radio station, probably a TV station, probably not unlike this one, is reporting on the drug cartels. And the drug cartels, like in Mexico, they attack the police, they attack the newspapermen, they're all, anybody of any substance down there in Mexico is driving around in an armored limousine. The drug cartels are now attacking a TV station in the United States. And this is basically unacceptable. And we need to address such things and basically make sure that it doesn't spill over in the United States. Not saying we don't like it in Mexico, but certainly we don't want to have it come up here. And I don't know what to say. It's hard to concentrate in everything when the president is cutting back on the army and doing away with the A-10 Warthog tank-busting airplane, which essentially is being used over there against ISIS. And it's the premier weapon we have against the Soviets, or not the Soviets, but the Russians, if they decided to further invade Ukraine. So we need to ramp up our defenses. But on the other hand, it doesn't seem like the current administration is up to the task. Anyway, Susan, do you have anything over there that you want to comment on? Okay, well, I guess one of the things that, just to remind everybody, the situation we're in the, what has happened in the past is, in Afghanistan, we had to, in supporting the Afghanistani army over there and preparing to move out and send our helicopter squadrons home, the Pentagon decided to buy the Afghans helicopters, about 60 helicopters. And I remember the fact that the Afghans are not unlike the Vietnamese. We bought the Vietnamese before we left Vietnam, the fourth largest air force in the world. And they ditched those airplanes in the ships as we sailed away back to the United States because they wanted to go. They didn't want to fight the North Vietnamese. So that's always left a bad taste in my mouth. And I've always thought that if the Vietnamese or the Afghans don't want to be free, if they don't want independent elections, we shouldn't put American boys, put American blood on the line for people that won't do it themselves. If they want to win, if they want to, basically, then we should support them. But to buy 60 helicopters, Russian helicopters in this case, and not buy Boeing helicopters is beyond the pale. I don't know who in the world with this Putin, with this Ukrainian thing, hindsight is better than foresight, but this was really a disaster, and we should never buy Russian helicopters. We have American helicopters manufactured right here in Ridley Park. We're going to take a break now.
business that provides financial planning with a biblical worldview. The initials MFB stands for My Father's Business from Luke 2:49, when Jesus told Mary and Joseph, "Why do you seek me? Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?"
We have taken Jesus' question and turned it into our purpose statement. We work closely to motivate individuals in applying God's principles to develop priorities, give generously, and invest wealth carefully with an eternal perspective.
I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB. We are happy to meet with fellow believers like you for all your retirement and inheritance planning needs. Please call our office today at 215-723-8999 to schedule your free appointment with us.
MFB Wealth Management, 215-723-8999, on the web at mfbwm.com.
MFB Wealth Management, serving God by serving you.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA SIPC.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, "we the people," didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
Are you discouraged and perhaps even paralyzed about how to respond to public corruption, broken families, and daily threats of terror? And are you tired of people complaining but hearing no authentic solutions? Do you wonder if there's hope for America? A biblical roadmap for renewal will bring you that hope. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I want to urge you to attend the one-day Pennsylvania Pastors Network U-Turn Conference on March 19th at Lancaster Bible College. This powerful program will equip pastors, church leaders, and concerned Americans to know the truth, stand in the gap to defend it, and to take action now. Join me, along with Christian historian David Barton of Wall Builders, researcher George Barna, pilot and author Steve Scheibner, and many others. Don't miss this powerful event on March 19th at Lancaster Bible College. God is raising up a remnant in America for this time. Are you part of that remnant? Come to the U-Turn Conference and find out. Go to uturnconference.org and register today to receive early bird and group rates. That's uturnconference.org.
Good morning and welcome back to It's a New Day here on WFYL 1180 AM in the King of Prussia area, Valley Forge in Philadelphia. We're happy to be with you this morning. It's a beautiful sunny morning, but very, very cold. Looking to forward to some more snow this evening. Hopefully it won't be too bad. We're glad to be with you. We're having some more technical difficulties this morning. We apologize that we're not on the air. We are streaming, but not on the air right now. So we're working on getting that fixed, and we apologize for that interruption.
Yes, we are. I need to check our transmitter site and see whether or not there's been a power interruption down there, which is not here in the main facility. But it's extreme cold, and there might have been something going wrong down there.
One thing we haven't mentioned this morning yet, Al, is what happened over the weekend with ISIS, or a few days ago, rather, with ISIS, with the beheadings of the Coptic Christians, the Egyptian Coptic Christians. I don't know if you had some comments about that.
Well, I have mixed feelings, not mixed feelings. I really dislike the fact that Christians are being singled out and basically attacked in formerly Syria, northern Iraq. It's just unacceptable that this is happening. This ethnic cleansing is it's like killing the Jewish people. The Germans did that. Never again. and now it's starting again. It seems like the between Europe and the Arabs, this is accepted operating procedure, but it's not an accepted operating procedure when people are living peaceably in buildings, in villages that they've lived in for centuries, for 1,000 years, have a bunch of ignorant jerks come in there and kill like they did the Egyptians. There's no reason for that. It's barbarism. They're barbarians. They just you can't even hardly give them the respect they deserve. Everybody deserves respect, but this is beyond talking about. To signal out one ethnic group or another is just a situation that can't be tolerated. So I hope that we can all live together. Jesus said it. And if you really think about it, as I have, do unto others, you would have them do unto you. And if we all live by that standard, we would be at peace. And this singling out the Christians in Libya or wherever, Iraq or Syria, is a short-term disaster, and we need to make sanctuaries available in the United States, especially in my mind. We ought to basically make sanctuaries available. Now, the Muslims, I don't mind treating the Muslims with the respect that they deserve by their actions. But on the other hand, the Christians really need help. I think we should give them first priority for immigrating to the United States. The reason I say all this is there's 75,000 immigrants that are scheduled to come to the United States. I think a majority of them, if Christians want to come, they should be able to come. But on the other hand, shouldn't exclude Muslims, but the Muslims should sign some sort of statement that they won't carry on holy war over here in our cities. In France, they have no go zones. The police can't even go into certain parts of France because the French police aren't armed. And essentially, it's too dangerous for the police to go into these areas. That should never happen in the United States. Never, never, never happen. I mean, the police should be respected, and as peacekeepers should be able to keep the peace for the economy, for sure, for sanity. We all should be equal under the Constitution, but to basically have no-go zones in the United States by letting in a bunch of individuals that are so foreign to our standards and our history is not smart. I'm not saying that it can't be done, but it should be done with wisdom and intelligence. And I think I've said enough about that, but yes, I'm horrified and can't believe they're dousing a pilot with gasoline. I don't know what to say. We're stretched so thin in different areas, and we could be stretched even thinner in the Ukraine. We have to watch and marshal our forces. This isn't the kind of situation that we need to jump into without considerable thought. Lord help President Obama have our best interests in heart and basically not get us in over our heads in all these different areas of the world. Now, looking on some of the other areas that we've covered here, and the Ukraine comes to mind, and we've passed a law that the president has signed to give non-lethal military aid to the Ukraine's armed forces and National Guard, including weapons of different types, from what I understand, defensive weapons, fire control, radar, and this, that, and the other thing. But the president has put a hold on it. President Secretary of State Kerry has been over there. The Russian government has been supplying a lot of equipment that's so sophisticated. I think a Russian missile shot down that Malaysian airliner flying close by. So this whole situation is fraught with danger, and we're hoping that cooler heads will prevail. Like I said earlier, the Russian Christians and the Ukrainian Christians, hopefully, can get together and agree on a peace fire and stop this shelling of residential areas. Can only go further and get out of control and hurt more innocent people. So let's see. Oh, getting on to a future program. Susan mentioned it earlier. Hopefully, shortly, we're going to have Sam Rohr and his Gary Dahl, Dr. Dahl, and a pastor from North Carolina. And they're actually on for a half an hour in Gary Dahl's program. They're going to be on for an hour here. And the response is really good. Sam joined in December to practice for the show, probably. And basically, the comments I've read about the response was really exceptional. So I'm very, very encouraged. I think God is moving. He's going to really make this into it's going to be connected up to satellites. And so this could spread across the nation. And maybe that's why our transmitter's down now and our equipment was down yesterday. Because this is coming up. This is big. The devil hates this. But keep praying. God will triumph yet. God bless you all. This is Al Locke.
And Susan Locke. Have a wonderful day.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township, this is AM 11.